So if you read across the stories in all four Gospels, someone always wants to silence Jesus. Herod, when Jesus was born, he was afraid of this tiny Jewish king. And he actually, according to scripture, went around killing innocent children in hopes of silencing Jesus before he could even speak. So Jesus became a refugee. His family went into exile until it was safe to come home. But Herod did not silence Jesus. People in his hometown of Nazareth heard him speak and read from the Holy Scriptures. They tried to run him off a cliff. He was a poor carpenter's son. He could not possibly be the one to fulfill Holy Scripture. So Jesus left his hometown, knowing that they simply would not accept him for who he was and all that he could be, but they didn't silence him. During the years of his ministry, skeptics pursued Jesus with trick questions, hoping to discredit him or slander him and thus silence him. And time again, Jesus answered their tricky questions in ways that actually silenced them. They did not silence him. At the beginning of what we now call Holy Week, Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. The crowds that found him cheered wildly, and a group of Pharisees insisted Jesus order the crowd to stop cheering. Jesus quotes Hebrew scripture to them, telling those Pharisees that if the people were silenced, the stones themselves would shout. No, they didn't silence Jesus, and they didn't silence his followers. And that seems to be the significant turning point in this story that brings us to Easter. Those Jewish leaders who wanted to silence Jesus were religious leaders, but they had long betrayed their own people. They personally benefited from the Roman occupation, and Jesus was making trouble for them. His message of the kingdom of God, though not some earthly realm in any tangible sense, was a threat to their manipulation of the people. And that message of the kingdom of God stirred up the poor and the struggling, and that was trouble for Roman authority. They would not tolerate uprisings of any kind. It was considered treasonous. And Jesus was crucified by the Roman Empire for treason. Jesus suffered terribly as his death approached that Friday. And when he died, he did indeed fall silent. At last, no more Jesus riling up the people with talk of love and forgiveness and hope for lives where there would be enough for all. No more Jesus calling out the corruption in the temple and all the ways it had become some den of thieves. No more Jesus challenging people to look within themselves to see what could or should be different in their lives instead of pointing fingers at other people. No more Jesus having the audacity to tell people they were forgiven. At last, Jesus stopped talking. But there's more. Jesus' actions had spoken at least as loudly as his words. No more Jesus hanging out now with the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the lepers. No more Jesus healing all those sick and injured masses. No more Jesus feeding hungry people. At last, Jesus is silent. And those who had the most to gain from this silence could go about the business of greed and corruption, of terror and harm, selfishness and inhumanity. It's not an exaggeration to say that when Jesus died and fell silent, hope died. Hope died for all those who had been following him, even though they didn't fully understand his vision. They knew he was offering a better way to live, where love reigned. That vision vanished with him. Most of us privileged people sitting here can barely understand the magnitude of such a loss. But then for these people comes Easter, catching them completely by surprise. Seriously, we don't know exactly what happened. It is okay to be sitting here skeptical and confused about what actually transpired at Easter, but we know that it literally filled Jesus' followers with hope and courage and tremendous power. For me, the resurrection of Jesus, Easter, his rising up, is a kind of noisy, messy cacophony of truth. Truth that ultimately love cannot be silenced. And when love is freed in the world, seemingly impossible things become possible. Love, self-sacrificing care for others, makes the impossible possible. The rising up of the early church is beautiful, pure evidence of this self-sacrificing sharing and care. And what has followed ever since that early church is evidence that those with greedy, corrupt, harmful, selfish intentions will do their best to silence the ultimate truth of love. Christianity becoming the official religion of the Roman Empire in the 4th century may actually be part of why we sit here today claiming we want to learn and follow Jesus. But frankly, it's also a huge problem, because the Roman Empire in the 4th century institutionalized the church, and it codified beliefs about Jesus and put them into the form of creeds that had to be adhered to. And it turned Jesus' parables into allegories with singularly imposed meanings about church, instead of these big, beautiful, open-ended stories about life. Even the early church fathers, choosing what would become the biblical canon, limited our understanding of Jesus. All these kinds of things actually worked to silence the truly revolutionary, outside-of-the-box Jesus. We sitting here, many of us work to find and bring back those revolutionary ideas, and we try to live them, and frankly, we aren't very good at it. But we see and we understand the necessity of trying to grasp an early truth about love, a love that is constantly today being crucified. Jesus, though, keeps rising up in the midst of centuries of crusades and inquisitions and witch trials and corrupt televangelists and all kinds of confusion and false ways. But love actually can't be silenced. Every single one of us, every single one of us is a container filled already and surrounded by that love. And I call that love God, by the way. An endless outpouring and giving of God's self, of love, is available to us when we say yes. God only needs our openness for all that love to flow freely within us and out from us wherever we are. And that becomes us offering ourselves our outpouring of love. Our world is so deeply troubled. I am sure there is some aspect of those troubles that tugs on your heart all the time. Perhaps you have personal challenges or struggles in your family or among your friends. But then there are those bigger issues, those movements, the Me Too movement, the GLBTQ justice concerns, Black Lives Matter, climate justice, marching for our lives to address gun violence, the Poor People's Campaign to get at the heart of so much trouble in our country. When we bring our most loving, God-filled lives to any of these spaces, we rise. We rise like Jesus. And in that rising, we bring some kind of noisy, messy cacophony of truth about love. That it will always rise, it will always speak, and when we can't find words, I promise you, even the stones are going to shout about it. Amen.